Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. God's so good, isn't he? Yes, he is. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm just so thankful. Every day I thank him for everything that he is doing in my life at this moment. And I haven't even got to see, you know, a tenth of a percent of what God has for me. And it's the same for everybody who's here today. God is so good. Amen. And he's bringing us out of some things, isn't he? He's going to bring us out of what we're going through right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you would, I'd like for you to look in two places today. We're going to start, first of all, in Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I've entitled this message tonight, Abolishing the Curse in Your Life. Abolishing the curse in your life. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to look at two scripture settings here. I think that will help us. And it says this in verse 13 of Colossians chapter 1. He says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred or translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. Amen. So we're not in a place of being brought down, but we've been put into place of being brought up. Yeah. Right. Amen. Yeah. The highest place we have changed kingdoms. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Amen. And so we've got to not only have that mindset of where we are seated now, because we've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus at the right hand of Father God. We got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, amen, who is, like Pastor was saying last week, he's the earnest of our inheritance, just a down payment, amen. So can we even begin to fathom just how much the full payment's going to be? It's an amazing thing. Amen. And we need to know that in the times that we're living in right now. It's crazy, isn't it? Just absolutely madness going on right now. We may talk about a little bit of that later, but we want to get this understanding here. Now, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, and very familiar verse. We're going to look at verse 13 and also verse 14. And it says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So that the blessing, say the blessing. Blessing. Say it with some conviction now. The blessing. The blessing. The blessing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. Amen. It's the blessing that is causing each and every one of us to be victorious. It's not because we, of the righteousness of God, and the righteousness of God surely is part of it, but it is the blessing that causes us to be enriched. It's the blessing. Say the blessing. Blessing. Amen. So we need to speak about the blessing. Amen. Yep. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So Jesus, by hanging on the cross, redeemed us from the curse. Amen. Colossians 1 says that we've been translated or transferred or changed from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of God. Amen. And so we've got to hold on to that. Amen. I am no longer in the kingdom of darkness. I have been redeemed from the curse. Amen. All of these things are important for us in the season that we're living in right now. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I wanted us to understand this. We've got to establish this. We've got to establish in our thinking, first of all, in our heart, because your mind can't change until your heart has been fed something other than what the world is feeding you. Yeah. Right. Amen. Yeah. You've got to get away from that. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm bombarded with it every day now. Every day. As soon as I get to work, someone is going to be a naysayer. Amen. And tell me something that is wrong. Hallelujah. There was a guy today told me that once this coronavirus gets out of the way, he says that the locusts are going to come in. Amen. He said it's that time for them. And he said they'll eat up all the crops. We'll be left with nothing. Now, how would you like to work with that every day? Amen. It's crazy. Hallelujah. But I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. Amen. The curse is not part of your life. You're not going to starve to death. Amen. Amen. You're not going to die of a disease.
That's right.
Because you've been redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
But if you allow yourself to embrace what they're saying, I'll be going to your funeral. I'll be bringing groceries to your house out of my abundance. Amen. It's important for us to understand we've got to get rid of this. We've got to get rid of that thinking of the world. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what's going on right now. Doesn't matter how pressing it is. It doesn't matter that all the restaurants in town are closed. What are we going to do? Oh, my Lord. Heaven help us. I'm going to have to start cooking. Lord Jesus. Amen. Clean all the cobwebs off the stove. Get all that stuff off the stove. I'm going to have to start using this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? If we abolish the curse, and that's the word that the Lord told me to say, abolish. Amen. Not just to, you know, walk away from it, get rid of it, but he says abolish it. So I thought, well, I better find out what abolish means. Amen. And so here are some definitions of the word abolish. It means to formally put an end to a practice. Formally. Put an end to a practice, a system, or an institution. Amen. The curse is all of those. It's a practice. It's a system. The Babylonian system is a curse system. Amen. And it's an institution instituted by Satan himself. Amen. So it's all of them. But it says to abolish means to formally put an end to it. Amen. To take it completely out of the way. Praise God. It means to end the observance or the effect of something. Amen. We're going to have to quit worshiping at the altar of the world. We're going to have to quit doing that. We're the church of the living God. Amen. And we should not be in fear. We should not be helpless. We should not be wringing our hands wondering, what am I going to do if I'm laid off or you know, my job quits, you know, because they're saying this. Amen. We've got to start to walk in peace like never before. Hallelujah. Got to start to walk in the peace of God. Well, Pastor, you're being an optimist. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. And I'm taking my cue from the greatest optimist that ever walked the earth, Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And I'm not going to change my way of thinking. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not that it doesn't pressure you to do that. I guarantee you, it does pressure you. Amen. You walk around in stores right now. I sense the heaviness of fear, oppression, and panic. You sense it. Amen. I mean, you don't have to be super spiritual to grab hold of that either. You just look at people's faces. They're like, you know, they're zoned out. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, when you buy toilet paper by the cases, you don't know what you're doing. Amen. I wouldn't even know where to store it. Let alone, how long would it take to use it? Amen. And then go out the next week and buy it by the case again. Or the next day. Amen. I'm not making fun. Please understand that. I'm just trying to show all of us the reality of what is going on right now and how we've been redeemed from all that. Amen. Hallelujah. So if we've been redeemed from the curse, if we've been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then why in the name of God are we still feeling the effects of it? Why is that happening to us? We're redeemed from all of this, but yet every bit of that is around us, surrounding us, and trying to smother us every moment of the day. Amen? To me, as I was praying about this and contemplating this, there's only one, for me, logical reason why the effects of the curse is still bothering you and I today. Amen? And that's this, that we are not enforcing what has been given to us. We're not enforcing it. Well, I am too. I rebuke it and I plead the blood every day. Well, good. Can you imagine what it would be like if you didn't? I would shudder to think what my life would be like if I didn't plead the blood every day, and my wife and I plead the blood every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Over every one of you, we plead the blood every day. Glory to God. You and I have to do this. This is part of enforcing what's been given to us. And so therefore, you do it. Well, it doesn't seem like it helps. You don't know how much it's helping. Think what your life would be like if you weren't doing it. Amen? I wouldn't even want to think what would be happening right now. Amen? It is so important for us to know that we need to formally put an end to this practice. And we need to start enforcing what has been given to us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go and look at this in Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. More than anything, I'm wanting us to think about this because it is so important for us to understand that nothing's going to change until we take command of it. Amen? Wishing is not going to do it. Taking authority will. Amen. No matter how slight it might be, doesn't matter how insignificant it looks, you've got to take authority over it if it's a negative force, no matter what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this. Really familiar scripture, but I want us to see this in Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Verse 1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation. Well, what's condemnation part of? It's part of the curse, isn't it? Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I've got believers here tonight, correct? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Who walk not according to the flesh. In other words, they are not living, they are not breathing, they are not listening to the flesh. Not their own flesh or the flesh of other people. Amen. They don't walk according to that. That's not how their steps are ordained. Our steps are ordained by God. Amen. And we're to walk in those steps. Amen. Hallelujah. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. Sin and death are part of the curse. We've been set free from that. Here's another example of what it is that you and I really are. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it is important for us to start to look at that. Get yourself in a place where you start thinking this way. Now, I understand. I've done it myself. Maybe you haven't, but I have. I've heard myself say, I'm tired. I'm really tired tonight. Worked all day. I'm tired. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to sit. Amen. Set my blessed assurance in a chair. Hallelujah. And stare off into space. Or I don't feel good. I don't really feel good. My stomach hurts. Amen. I feel sick. I've heard myself say this. Hallelujah. I know you all are a lot more in tune than what I am. But I've said these things. Amen. Now let me ask you this. Is it a fact that you can have symptoms of sickness? Yes. Is that a fact? Yes. Amen. Let me now ask you this. Is it the truth that you're sick? No. The truth is that you're healed by the stripes on our Lord's back. Amen. That's the truth. Symptoms come and symptoms go. I've been sick and I'm well. I like well better. Amen. But I have had symptoms. Sickness is part of curse. How could it get on me? Well, it's very simple. I'm not enforcing healing. I'm not enforcing it. I'm allowing the curse to inch its way, you know, through that crack in the door and try to come in. Hallelujah. You're making it really hard on us tonight. You're telling us all this stuff that we're doing wrong. No, I'm trying to show us how we need to take our authority, which has already been given to us. I'm not trying to get you into something that you've never known before. I'm just trying to get us into a place where we're taking the right action against the adversary. Amen? Amen? Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Well, he can't devour everybody. He hasn't devoured you yet, has he? You're still here. Amen. So he can't do it to everybody. He can only do it to those who are willing to allow him to do it. Amen. So that's the thing. Start enforcing. Make a formal end to what Satan is doing. Amen. Make a formal end to it. Maybe we need to sign a contract with ourselves. I will not, under any circumstances, declare from this moment on, even when the symptoms are on me at the greatest degree, I am going to keep my mouth shut. And I will not say that I am sick. But you're just in denial. I am denying it, its ability to harm me. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to step into this a little at a time. You're just not going to go gung-ho one day and change everything you've been doing, you know, for years and years and decades. Amen. You're not going to change it overnight. But faith comes by hearing. And so what I'm saying today is part of building faith. Just part, not all. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Amen. Well, glory to God. Let's look at this now. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Going to look at a few scriptures tonight, but I know you don't mind that. I ain't hearing any amens, but as far as I mean, I don't mind it. I like to go through if you don't run through your Bible very often, the pages are going to get stuck together. Yeah, you got to keep them loosened up. Amen. You love to lose, you know, Psalm 74 because it's all stuck together from your cereal bowl. Amen. I read my Bible while I'm eating in the morning because I have to do it whenever I can. And there have been a few times when I've gotten some pages stuck together from slopping milk. Amen. Allie, I know you all think that's gross, but I'm sorry. That's just the way I do it. Hallelujah. I can't get my year's reading in if I don't. Amen. All right. Where did I tell you to go? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, didn't I? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19 right now. It says this. Hallelujah. Now for 18 and 19. Well, 18. 18. Hallelujah. There is no 19. It says, while we do not look, while you do not look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal, temporary, easily changed. Amen. Don't look at things that are easily changed. Look at things that are stable. And what things are those? Well, those are the eternal things. Only the eternal things are stable. They never change. Why is that? Because God never changes and His Word never changes. So those are the things we're supposed to be looking at. Hallelujah. Because everything that's out here right now, I'm going to say this by faith, that within a month, everything that's going on here is going to be practically gone. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know how it will get done quicker? As soon as we stop living in fear. That you're going to get something from somebody because they sneezed. Amen? Some guy at work told me that on Facebook, somebody put on there, hey, he said, I've got allergies and I sneeze. He said, give me a break. Amen? Give me a break here. I sneeze because I have allergies, not because I got, you know, COVID-19. Amen. But as soon, you know, I seen a guy at the grocery store Sunday. Bless his heart. I'm not making fun of him. This is where fear comes in. He had his shirt up over his nose. Amen. And he was talking to people, but talking through his shirt. And then whenever he went to get stuff, he'd put his hands like this in his sleeves, and he'd go up and he'd pick them up like this, and then put them in his cart. And I thought, how I would hate to live in fear like that. Amen. That the potato chips would do me in. Amen. Hallelujah. Or a pork roast killed you off. You understand what I'm saying? That's fear. Fear has been taken care of by the redemption that has been given to us through the blood. Amen? We can't look at the things on the outside. Hallelujah. Maybe it's a blessing that we all have to stay inside right now, so we're not looking at the crazies that are out there. Amen. On a extended basis. You're going to see crazies no matter what, but maybe not to the extent that it might have been. I don't know. That's just free. You can do with it whatever you want. I don't like staying at home all the time. I'd like home, but I don't like to stay home all the time. I like to be able to know that I'm free to do whatever I choose to do without someone telling me I have to do this. I don't like being told what to do. Amen. Sorry, that's just me. Hallelujah. But you don't look at the things that are seen, because they're going to change. How many of you have had circumstances in your life that seemed really overwhelming, but it seemed like they changed and now you don't even think about them anymore? I'm one. Amen. Well, why was that? Because they were temporary. Amen. And as long as you and I are focusing on what is in the Word, then the things that are out here have no effect on us. Amen. See, that's why we're here as a church tonight. Instead of pastors saying, you know, well, we're canceling services until this is all over with. Amen. Now, I know that if the city said we can't do it anymore, I know that he would reconsider, because that's just, you know, a mandate. The government's saying certain things. But he would be hard-pressed to reconsider, because I know him. Amen. Hallelujah. But there are churches all over the place. I mean, I went out on Morgan Avenue Sunday, and there was a church there, and it says closed until April. Amen? I couldn't even imagine not going to church until April. And I don't care. I'm sorry. You know what? I don't like TV church. Even Spirit-filled TV church. I just don't like it. Why not? Because I'm not there. If I was there, I'd like it. Amen. But if I have to stay at home, do you know what I would do if I would stay at home? I would be watching it for a little while, and then I would be up doing something. I'd get the Martha spirit on me. And then I'd go and start doing something else, and I'd come back and I'd look in, and then I'd be out doing something else. Yeah, that's me. Amen. So I want to be here. I want to be in it. I want to be surrounded by it. Amen. I want to get saturated in it. So that whenever I leave, something really happened for me. Amen. And it does every time I come. Amen. Not every time earth moving, but every time something. Amen. I got a deposit, and I'm taking it with me. Amen. It's there. I'm not looking at the seen things. I'm looking at the eternal things. Amen. The things that matter most to me. Hallelujah. The things that matter the most. Praise God. Now look at this. Let's back up. Let's go to verse 16. It says, for this reason, we do not lose heart. Hallelujah. See, he's not suggesting that you don't. He says, you do not lose heart. Amen. Get a hold of yourself. Whenever, you know, you start getting these silly thoughts in your head and you start saying silly things, get a hold of yourself. Amen. I don't know how many times I've had to tell myself to shut up. I couldn't even begin to tell you. Like it's a daily thing. A daily thing. Amen. Some stupid thought. Or some stupid word. Amen. And I have said, will you shut up? And I say it out loud so I can hear it. Amen. Because see, that's the only way it's going to stop. Because if I just allow it to ramble on, it's going to start gaining momentum in my thinking. Amen. And then it will become something dangerous. Hallelujah. I'm not to lose heart. You're not to lose heart. It says, even though our outward man is perishing, yet your inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which lasts but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the light affliction is not to work in you distress and trial. It's to work in you a greater weight of glory. Why is that? Because you're not thinking on the things that are seen. You're thinking on the things that are unseen, the eternal things of God. So therefore, it's the eternal things of God that bring the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Those are the things that make the difference. These are the things that will give you victory or you walk in defeat. It's just whatever you want. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got to, going down again, we've got to allow our inward man to be nourished properly. Hallelujah. Getting into Word. Doing your daily readings is, to me, one of the best ways. I am so glad that you all decided to do this. This is awesome. Amen. My wife and I have, I mean, we've read the Bible, but now all of a sudden, we're having to read things that we didn't really want to read, and so we only might have read them once. And now we got to read them again. Amen. They're in there for a reason. Amen. They're in there for a reason, to teach us something. It might be just to teach you patience, that you'll read it. Amen. I can guarantee you, I still don't recall a whole lot out of Leviticus and Numbers. No, it's not there for me. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's there because he put it there for a reason. Amen. It's an eternal thing. Amen. It's an eternal thing that you and I have to look at. Praise God. So we've got to feed our inward man. Hallelujah. Now, if you're like me, and I'd like to use me as an example because, you know, I do dumb stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. You can laugh. I don't care. Hallelujah. I do really stupid stuff. Praise God. And I'm really good about keeping myself focused on the Word of God as long as nothing's going on in my life. Everything is fine. I'm just trucking on down the highway. Amen. Me and God. Praise God. I even let him drive sometimes. Amen. That was a joke. Hallelujah. He's supposed to be driving all the time. Amen. But then if something happens, my focus starts getting, you know, it's just like, you know, you wake up in the morning, your eyes are blinking, and you can't focus in on everything because the light. Hallelujah. And now all of a sudden, there is competition with the Word. Something that's trying to get my attention away from the Word. Amen. And I'll admit to you that there's been many times that I've swerved away from that. And just sat there, plopped myself right down in front of that issue, that problem, that trial. And just look at that thing, talk with it. Amen. And do all kinds of stuff to entertain it. Amen. Because my attention to it is its entertainment. Oh, it loves it. That's why the Word tells us to not give place to the devil. Amen. We shouldn't even consider him anymore. Hallelujah. He's nothing. Totally nothing. Amen. But sometimes we do, and we lose our focus, and we start looking at one thing. We start looking at the seen things instead of the unseen things. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. But Paul tells us that we've got to stay focused. And you got to look at only the eternal things, not the external things. Amen. But the eternal things, praise God. Amen. It's so important for us to do that. When we focus on the problem instead of the answer, we don't get the answer that we need from God. Because we're not focused on the answer. See, whenever you go to prayer, you have to go with the assurance that you already know what the answer is going to be. Well, how can I know that? You know, if I'm coming to God and asking for something, because you've got to understand and know this, that He has the answer for you, and that's all you need. He's got the answer. Amen. And so if I pray knowing that He's going to give me the answer, I'll have the answer. But if I go in there and tell Him everything that's going on that is wrong in my life, He has nothing to work with. Why is that? Because there's no faith. There's no faith present. When you and I are talking to problems, there is no faith present. Amen. And that's you know, that's the long and short of it right there. It, you know, I mean, you can't philosophize, you know, out. When you talk the problem, you get no answer. You must always talk the answer to get the answer. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's simple, isn't it? Praise God. You've got to start talking the answer. Prayer must be based on the answer found in the Word. It must be. Anything else is unbelief. And you won't get an answer that way. Now, I'm not saying that God isn't gracious. And I'm not saying that God is not compassionate. And I'm not saying that there have been times when I didn't know any better. I went to God with absolute unbelief, fear, and everything else, but God brought me out. Amen. I think to me one of the best examples that I had of this, I was not a believer at this time. Amen. But whenever my daughter Brittany was 5 years old, she fell off of the top of a slide down to the ground, however tall that is, I don't know. Well, she was pretty messed up. Amen. She's better now. Amen. Dustin says he's still wondering about that. Hallelujah. So she went to Perry Central, and they took her to Tell City, and from Tell City they took her to Owensboro. Amen. And Kay rode with her in the ambulance. I was back in the back. I was blubbering and bawling and carrying on like an idiot. Had no idea to take authority over this. None whatsoever. How I wish I would have known what I know now. Amen? Yeah. So they get her there. They do a MRI and everything because she had a head injury and stuff like that. And they come out and they tell us these things that she's got bleeding on her brain and different things like that. And my wife and I just, you know, we just start to freak out. Amen. Well, family starts coming and doubt, unbelief, and death just start spewing out of my mouth. We don't know if she's going to live. We don't, you know, and all this stuff. Amen. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. So He does have mercy. Praise God. But let me say this. He has less mercy after you and I get born again. Hallelujah. It's not that he doesn't want to help, and it's not that he won't help. It's just that sometimes you and I just need to buck up. Amen. Pull our pampers up. Adjust them real good so you can run the race. Hallelujah. And just go after it. Praise God. And quit looking at all of the things that are going on around you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer based on fear or doubt cannot be answered by God. Period. He just can't. He can't. He'd like to, but he can't because he's bound himself to his word. Amen. And his word is based on faith. And so therefore, he can't do anything about it. He wants us to change so that he can. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at this in James chapter 1. This is very familiar scripture. We're getting ready to close. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. James chapter 1, are you there? Amen. Praise God. Let's look at this. It says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and without, it says in my Bible, criticism. Hallelujah. So he'll give it to you. Well, you didn't deserve it, but I'll give it to you anyway. You're really, really messed up today, but I'm going to let you have it anyway. Amen. And it will be given to him, but let him ask, or you can say like this, let him pray in faith without wavering. Amen. For he who wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed with the wind. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable. Hallelujah. Is unstable in all of his ways. Well, that's not good, is it? Amen. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us firmly hold the profession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. So you can't have this wavering. Wavering to me is the same as swerving. And if you've ever been in traffic, have you ever seen people go around you, then they'll cut in this way, then they'll go out this way, and they'll come back in the other way? Or is that you? Maybe it's you I've been seeing all this time. Amen. But have you ever seen them do that? They'll weave in and out of traffic, trying to make headway. But it's really funny, almost every time I get up to the stoplight the same time they did. It's really funny. Amen. Hallelujah. But they're moving in and out. They can't stay in one position. Because they think that all of this moving and maneuvering is going to get them somewhere. Amen. But if they just stay the course. Be like the tortoise. Amen. Yeah. Stay the course. Quit being a hare. Hallelujah. Or a harebrained. Amen. But understand what you're supposed to do here. Praise God. Without wavering. Romans 4:19 tells us that Abraham was not weak in faith. Amen. But he was given glory to God. Because he knew that he was faithful to do the thing that he said he'd do. Amen. Hallelujah. He was faithful. We're talking about getting rid of the curse here, abolishing the curse. Hallelujah. So there's this thing about staying strong in faith. There's this thing about not wavering. There's this thing about asking in faith so that God can answer your prayers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. Let's go and look at this in Matthew 11. We're almost done, but I just got a couple more things I want to say. Matthew 11. This is very familiar, what Jesus said here. And Pastor Chuck, I think you talked about this Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure. In verse 28, hallelujah. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. Have you ever felt like that before? and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My. Amen. Just come to Him, bring your problems. Praise God. But come in faith, knowing that when you get there, that He is going to have the answer for you. He already knows the problem. Amen. It also says in Matthew, He has knows what you have need of before you even ask. Amen. So He already knows these things. You don't have to recount them to Him. Hallelujah. A lot of times I'll say, Father, You already know what's going on. So I don't have to tell You that. I just come to You for the answer. And I thank You now. I receive the answer in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, do I walk away with a notebook full of answers? No. 9 times out of 10, no. Hallelujah. But as time goes on, if I stay in faith, then He will start to reveal things. Sometimes He has to see if you're going to stay there before He can release anything. Amen. He's got to see if you'll stay in faith. Just stay there and praise Him and do like Abraham did and just worship Him. Hallelujah. You won't have to wait long to get the answer if you're willing to wait. Hallelujah. But wait. Amen. Wait upon the Lord. Praise God. He'll give you rest in your trials. Well, that's good to know, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me see. Do I have anything else here? Yeah. Jesus overcame. One of the best examples I've seen was in Mark chapter 4 at the storm. Amen. He was asleep. He wasn't upset. He wasn't shaken. He was asleep. Right in the storm. Amen. The disciples came and said, Master, do you not care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're about ready to die? Amen. So Jesus gets up, and what does He do? He rebukes the wind, and there's a great calm. Amen. But then He goes to them and He says, where's your faith? Why didn't you do something about this? Amen. They allowed the trial to overtake them. Amen. It was real, wasn't it? Absolutely. I mean, they were in peril. But Jesus did not allow the peril to get in Him. And did you notice this? That just because He was the Son of God, He went through it with them. He wasn't exempt from it. I mean, there weren't angels holding Him up. Amen. And as the boat was rocking, He was just, on that pillow, and they were just rocking Him. Amen. You can't tell me that He didn't sense in His physical body that there was something going on. Amen. But He didn't let it get in Him. He abolished it. He set a new pattern for His life from a very early age. Amen. And that was what went on. That's what you and I need to do. Amen? You know, I really like the stories, and we're going to close with this. I promise. Amen. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians, let me see. Let me find it. I want to make sure I'm doing it right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about all the things that he went through. Amen? The shipwrecks. The peril among strangers, the peril among the brethren, amen. The beatings that he went through, and all these things. He said he went through all of these, and he said, and if that wasn't enough, he said the pressure of ministering to the church. So he had physical trials going on, and he also had spiritual trials going on. Amen. He had them both going on at the same time. Hallelujah. So he was pressured from inside and outside. Amen. And then as we move into chapter 12, he says that a thorn was given to him, a messenger of Satan. Amen. And he asked the Lord to remove it three times. But the Lord says this, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. His grace is sufficient for us, no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard it looks, no matter how intense it feels. Amen. Whether it's a physical thing or a spiritual thing, His grace is sufficient for you and I to come out of anything and everything. Amen. And so that's the thing. That's what I want to leave us with tonight. Amen. And I am closing now. Praise God. Is that His grace is sufficient to change every situation in your life now and in the future. His grace is there. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.